Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is the Song Travels Podcast. Each week on Song Travels, my guest and I share an hour of conversation and music. The Song Travels Podcast features some of my favorite moments from the interview. To listen to full episodes online, visit npr.org, and for more podcasts, subscribe at itunes.com/songtravels.
To support the series, join the Friends of Song Travels. More information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.
Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is conductor, composer, and pianist Andre Previn. He is the recipient of multiple Lifetime Achievement Awards, including honors from the Kennedy Center and the London Symphony Orchestra, as well as a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. He has also received several Grammy Awards for his recordings, was honored as Musical America's Musician of the Year in 1999, and was knighted by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II in 1996. These are just a few of his many accomplishments, and it's certainly an honor to have him with us today. Sir Andre Previn, welcome to Song Travels.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
Your background is a fascinating one. Where were you born?
I was born in Berlin, in Germany, and spent the first 9 years of my life there until we left.
Would you tell the story about how your father learned that your family needed to leave?
Well, my father was a lawyer and a judge, and he was also Jewish, so it didn't work.
Right.
I mean, they frowned on that.
This was 1938?
Yeah.
Not a good time.
Not a good time, no, I'll say. Anyway, my father told me that one day his secretary came in white as a sheet and said, "There's an SS man to see you." And he said, "Okay, send him in, and if I leave with him, call my wife and tell her to pack." So the SS man said, "Do you remember me?" And my father said, "No." And he said, "Good." He said, "We won't go through names or anything, but you got me off a very bad rap some years ago, and I've never forgotten that. You did wonderfully well for me. And there's going to be a law within the next week or two which forbids any and all Jewish solicitors from practicing." So he said, "I would suggest you get out tonight." And my father was, for once, he was really smart, and he said, "Okay." And he came home, and he said to my mother, "Pack a bag, we're getting out now. We're going to go to Paris." They couldn't stop you from doing that because the war hadn't started yet, and so, you know, there was no possible legal reason to stop anybody from leaving. And we went to the airport, and we got on a plane and left. And then when it landed, we had no idea where we were landing. I mean, was it really Paris, which would have been wonderful, but it could have been anywhere. And the door opened, and in came a customs inspector and spoke French to us. And we all thought, made it.
Oh my God.
We got out, and we had a grand total of $5 with us. And that was that. And we stayed there. My mother had a brother who was a teacher at the Sorbonne, and he kind of looked after us for a while until the visa that we had applied for came through. It was a long, long way in coming. And then we went to America.
Were you scared as a child, or were you not aware?
No, I loved it. What are you talking about? You know, I mean, I was a kid. It was an adventure. It was something else. It was really, I thought it was terrific. But later on, I not only realized how close to disaster we were, but I realized what a kind of hero my father was, because he did it all. He took it all in stride. And then, of course, when we got to America, he could not practice law, he didn't speak English.
Oh, boy.
So he became kind of the neighborhood piano teacher. He was a good amateur pianist. And the German accent was, if anything, a plus. So We managed all right.
That's an amazing story. It's extraordinary. Yeah.
Well, that's why I went to work so early on as, you know, as an orchestrator, as an arranger, as a pianist, whatever was going.
To support the family.
Damn right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to play something to get to some music. At MGM, you worked with a gentleman who is now generally acknowledged as the greatest of all Hollywood arrangers, or one of the greatest, and that's Conrad Salinger.
Oh, well.
And I'd like to play something of his, something arranged by him.
All right.
What about the song he arranged for Judy Garland of yours and Dory?
What was that?
Yes.
Oh, was yeah, that's right. That was his arrangement. Well, play it. I haven't heard it in 100 years.
All right. Here it is. Judy Garland performing Yes by Andre and Dory Previn, orchestrated by Conrad Salinger.
If he asks me, will I stay and never go away, I'll tell him yes, I'll tell him yes, and if he should hold me fast and whisper,
Judy Garland performing Yes, written by our guest Andre Previn, with lyrics by Dory Previn, orchestrated by Conrad Salinger.
That was the first song that Dory and I ever wrote.
Really?
Yeah. And I had not met her at the time. And I went to Arthur Freed because he knew everybody. And I said, Arthur, there is a very nice and very pretty girl who keeps leaping out of corners to say hello to me, and I have no idea who that is. And he said, oh, God, I forgot to tell you, it's your songwriting partner. It's true.
And Dory was originally Dory Langdon, your lyric collaborator, and then you were married and had a very successful professional collaboration and created some very significant songs in that time. Did you hit it off immediately, collaboratively?
Yeah, I liked her writing very much, and we got along very well.
I'd like to play something that you wrote with Dory that hasn't been heard before, because as happens in Hollywood, so often they dispose of things and throw things away and change their minds, and sometimes the production of a film takes so long that essential elements are changed, and that's what happened many years later with Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
Yeah.
Because you wrote a complete score with Dory.
Yeah, true.
And then it was not used.
No, it was not used. It was written by Leslie Berkus instead.
Well, one of the songs that was discarded, to me, this is a crime, because I think it's as good as anything that anyone has ever written. And you made a demo of the score of Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
Yeah.
But when I say a demo, this was with a full orchestra. It sounds like a 50-piece orchestra.
No, it wasn't, but it was you know, let's say half that, 25-piece. Yeah.
It sounds incredible.
Good.
And I'd like to play this demo of this gorgeous song that has never been heard before, called Has He Come Too Late? Let's listen to at least a part of it.
Fall in love, no, not again. It's quite against my plan. Not this odd and out of step, damned attractive man. I don't think I can. Can I? Can I? Has he come too late? Can my heart still care? Or have I been hurt so much I've nothing left to share? Has Has he come too late? Or am I too wise?
A gorgeous song, Has He Come Too Late. Now, did you have any memory of that?
No. I mean, when you mentioned it to me, I racked my brains. I had absolutely no memory of the song, of the situation, of anything. But then when you played it for me, I liked it.
It's a gorgeous piece.
Good, thank you.
I'd like to play another piece that you wrote that is, again, a favorite song of mine. That was, I don't know if it was written for Leontine Price, but I know her recording of it. Another song with lyrics by Dory called It's Good to Have You Near Again. That's a song that almost sounds like a chamber piece. Do you recall anything about the writing of the piece?
No, but I do recall that piece, and I liked it even then. And, of course, anything that Leontine sang was okay with me. We made an album together, Leontine and I.
Yes, called Right as the Rain.
Yeah, right. And she was wonderful. She was absolutely wonderful. She was my favorite singer.
Really?
At the time, you know. And did you know that she was at one time Renee Fleming's teacher?
No.
Yeah, not something.
And now Renee Fleming is one of your favorite singers.
Oh, yes, without question.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Let's listen to a part of this recording.
Okay.
It's Good to Have You Near Again, sung by the great Leontine Price, written by Andre and Dory Previn.
It's good to have you near again. It's pointless to disguise how good it is to hear again your sweet familiar lies. It's good to have you say again your home forevermore. You'll never go away again as you have done before.
It's good to have you near again. I feel that you've made a great contribution to the songbook. Did you, along with all the other things that you've done, having had a career as a film composer, then of course your writing for orchestra and opera and chamber music and such, but in this earlier period, did you set out to have a successful songwriting career in the mode of Gershwin or Hammerstein? Or, I mean, what were your musical aspirations? Or were you just sort of going along with MGM?
Yeah, my idol was Harold Arlen.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I thought he was just absolutely the best. And although I must say I loved Curran's songs. They were so, things like Nobody Else But Me and all of those really ravishing songs. And you can't neglect Gershwin or any of those people. And I'll never forget working, for instance, with Johnny Mercer. That was an education in itself. But I didn't have any great songwriting ambitions, no.
Huh.
I was always very pleased when a song happened that made its point, you know, which it did from time to time. But I never wanted to be, you know, a songwriter. I was composing much too much concert music at the time. Mm. So I was pretty busy.
I'd like to play a demo of you at the piano with Johnny Mercer singing a beautiful song that I think might have been cut from a score that you wrote, a stage show called Good Companions, which is one of my favorite scores. And the song is called Little Dream Lost. Do you recall it?
I do recall it. Me too. I like that song.
So let's listen to an excerpt of Little Dream Lost with Johnny Mercer's vocal and you at the piano.
I'm looking for a dream that got away. Like a runaway sheep you can never quite keep in sight. I'm sure to come across it any day, for I know it's somewhere out there in the night. She took me in her arms and kissed me sweetly, most indiscreetly, and then it disappeared completely. I only need the girl, I wonder who, to turn my little lost dream into a dream come true.
That song is actually called Little Lost Dream. I'm becoming a dyslexic at this age. Johnny Mercer's lyric and Andre Previn's music. You've been listening to the Song Travels podcast. To stream the full hour of this program, visit npr.org, and thank you for listening. I'm Michael Feinstein, host of Song Travels. To support this series, join the Friends of Song Travels. You can find more information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.